The reality is, if you're in this room, we have all arrived here most likely in different ways, okay? Some of us, maybe it was just we're single. Some of us, it was we got divorced, we could have some widows, we could have a combination of things. But the point is, we're all here, right? And some of us, things happened to us that led us to this place here tonight. Others of us, maybe if we're honest, maybe things we did ultimately landed us in this place. The point is, regardless of all of those things, how you got here, what it looks like, why you're here, the point is, from this point forward, we get to look at some things in a new way, in a fresh way. And so today, particularly with this topic, my hope is the fact that you're sitting here, and even sitting here in a church, that you might be one, willing to listen, but two, might even be willing to listen to something a little bit different. And that's my hope for you tonight, is that we might be able to touch on something a little bit different. Because the reality is, especially for some of us, man, we find ourselves in this place, and it wouldn't be a bad idea to look at a new approach to this particular topic, which is ultimately talking about dating and relationships. And the truth is, different is needed for everyone that's involved in this category, regardless of their stage of life. This is an issue because we don't know how to handle it. And when we do try to handle it, we don't handle it well, typically. And so again, my hope today is to give you some help, to encourage you. And so here we go. I'm calling this dating, becoming, and finding. You don't need to write that down, but just so you know, I like to think that way so I remember what I'm actually talking about. Dating, becoming, and finding. Finding will be for next week, all right? The becoming is tonight. So what are we talking about? We're talking about becoming the one, right? Becoming the one, right? Next week, we'll look at what? Becoming, or we'll look at finding. Maybe. We'll find out, all right? It may be a surprise. We'll see. Yeah, so look at this. So let's talk about becoming the one. Now, I've got three little points for you if you want to track along. Here's the first one, all right? So thinking in this concept, this term of becoming the one, right? Tonight's all about becoming. The first point is this. We must find the one. Confused yet? If I'm going to become the one, I have to find the one. What in the world is this crazy guy talking about? That makes zero sense. Shouldn't we become the one first and then we'll find the one? Actually, you're right. But I want to show you something. See, most of us grew up thinking that, hey, there's this person out there, this soulmate for me, this perfect match or perfect opposite, if you want to be really strategic. There is this person out there that is the perfect person for me, and all I need to do is find that person. That is my one. If I can find the one, I will find happiness and fulfillment, and all things will be fixed or at least a lot better, right? Can I get an amen? The problem is, when you go looking for a person to be your number one, you are in trouble. Because the reality is, your number one has to be the Lord. And your number two is whoever that future mate might be. But what happens when we twist this up? We start expecting our number two to do things that our number one can only do. We start to look at our number two and expect that he or she will bring that, if you will, they'll be able to hold us up because I finally have someone, right? We're bonded together with a vow for all of life. And he or she, especially if it's a he, because he's going to be big and strong. He's going to hold me up for the rest of my life. It's going to be great. And the reality is, the only person that can hold your life up is the Lord. And so he or she may be someone you could lean on, but they're not going to be able to hold you up. You might look at them and say, oh my goodness, if I can find the one, I'm going to find total fulfillment because I finally have that person that I've probably been trained since a kid to be yearning for. And the reality is, there is no person on the planet that can bring the fulfillment that you need. That person may bring some satisfaction, maybe some temporary or little satisfaction, but they will never be able to bring true fulfillment. So the reality is, if we're going to become the one, the first thing we have to do is actually understand who the one is and find him. And the one is the Lord, because he is the only one that won't let you down. So how do we find him? How do we find the real one? Well, let me give you a verse that's super simple. You probably all know it, or at least have heard reference to it. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Here is the simple concept. God, since the day that our world started breaking apart, since sin entered into the world, all the way back in your Bibles, Genesis 3, in the garden, God has been working a plan in motion to get sin removed from the earth and to be able to bring heaven back to its rightful place, where we, all who are found right in Christ, can dwell with him. This is ultimately, in simple terms, his plan. He's got to get sin out of the world. Why? Because he loves you and I, right? So the reality is, why? Because you and I, we're all messed up, right? You're all messed up, and so am I. Maybe the worst in the room. Who knows? Probably, right? We're all jacked up from the floor up because we have sin. And so Jesus came to be the model for us, right? He modeled for us while he lived on this earth. This is part of the scriptures that we read. We learn how he lived his life. We learn from him. We aim to be like him. He set a great example, but more importantly, he went up on the cross. He died, and then he rose again 3 days later so that you and I could have life. And then, when you and I get to a place where we can accept him, we see God for who he is, we invite Jesus into our life, and he makes us new creations, then what happens, in addition to some other things, all of a sudden we begin to find the purpose that God, the creator of you, designed for you to have on this earth. See, that's another one. Some of us are looking for the one to find the purpose, and our one is actually our number two. And when our number two tries to do things that number one is supposed to, we will never find that fulfillment. And so you may try to find your purpose in a person, and that person will always let you down when it comes to your purpose. Some of you know that because you're sitting here tonight, and you can say, that was my story. See, you got to get right with God first. And then he begins to reveal the purpose he has for you. And once we begin to see the purpose God has for us, now we're moving down the road. Then there's another verse, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. Matthew 6:33. First, we see who God is. We get right with him. We give our life to him. We say, okay, I'm in. I want to start following you. Matthew 6:33. You know what, God? Before I worry about anything else, I'm going to just seek after you. I'm going to trust that you're going to take care of this. I'm going to trust you're going to bring everything else. I'm going to trust that if I'll get right with you, you'll bring that person along. You will get the situations just right in my life. You will be the support, the need, the all the things, Lord. I'm going to trust that because I'm just going to follow you and pursue righteousness. I'm going to pursue honoring the things you've called me to do. And then it sets us up for the next thing. You ready? Here's point number two. Once we find the one, now we're going to build a relationship with the one. Now let me read you a passage that's maybe less familiar, but just as relevant right now. 1 Corinthians 7:32 says this. Listen to Paul's words. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man or woman is anxious about the things of the Lord and how to please the Lord. But the married man, by the way, it's just the man, not the woman. We'll get to the woman in a second. But the married man is anxious about worldly things and how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or the betrothed woman, the engaged woman, is anxious about the things of the Lord and how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit. Listen to these words. I say this for your own benefit. Not to lay restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undistracted devotion to the Lord. Paul says, hey, listen, before you jump into a relationship, you need to understand that once you do, and particularly once you get married, there are going to be a lot of distractions in your life. Anybody disagree? Are you going to be dealing with money and kids? If not now, later. Kids, career, relational issues. Because I hate to break it to you, no matter how great they are, they'll never be Prince Charming, right? Always going to let you down. You're going to be dealing with worldly issues in life. and family and holidays. And I mean, can we keep going on all day long, right? There's going to be a million things that you're going to be dealing with as a married person. And Paul says, hey, do you think it'll be easy to build a relationship with the Lord while you're distracted by a multitude of things that you're not having to deal with right now? He says, of course not. So he says, hey, before you go any further, make note. First, let's figure out who the one is, and then let's spend the time building a relationship with him because we have a little extra time. Now, let's be honest. We wouldn't say a lot. That's okay. That's not the point. The point is you have a little more time and a little less distraction than you would should you be married. Paul's words are so great because we know this is an issue. What does he say? Secure an undistracted devotion to God. Because when you get married, it is that much more difficult. Not impossible. Don't hear the wrong thing today. Don't look at your married friend and say, you're done. Sorry, too late for you. But I'm going to get this right. Now, it's okay to get it right, but leave the other part out. But the reality is, it's way more difficult. Now, I want to show you something else. This is nothing new, but I think this will be helpful for us to see. Another way we can look at kind of dealing. Can y'all see this okay? I put it under the light here. Look at that. That's how you use light to your benefit. All right, I want you to think of this as a triangle. And if you can see it at the bottom of your paper there. If you want to fill it in, you can. If you don't, that's all right. Okay. Anybody ever seen the triangle before? All of you. You went to school. All right. Watch this. Okay. I'm going to give you a tip here. So pay attention. All right. If you don't draw the triangle, just pay attention to what I'm about to say to you. Who's at the top of the triangle? All right. Good. I think you all got it right. All right, we'll use it. There's God. God's at the top of the triangle, right? If he's not at the top, we're already in trouble, okay? But we're assuming we got the first one right, okay? We found the one. We have realized that God has got to be our number one. We got it, okay? So then here you are. Here's me. All right, now someone give me a name over here. Just a random name. Someone we're going to... Abraham. Okay, give me an easier name. That's a great name. Give me...
Bob.
What? Bob, okay. Let's just do Sarah. All right, let me be safe here. So we don't, yes, so this doesn't get weird. All right, here we go. All right, so here's me, okay? Here's this potential mate, Sarah, and here's God. Now watch this. What most people try to do out of order, remember what it said, promote good order, is we try to find this person, then we try to find this person. And what happens is most of the time, it stops here, or maybe right here. The reality is, what we want to do is before we ever worry about this person, we are pursuing a relationship with God. This person, hopefully, I'm going to show you in a minute why this is important, is pursuing a relationship with God. But then what happens? Now, normally they show you this in marriage. I want to show you something better before you ever get married. Watch this. If Chad and Sarah are both pursuing the Lord, eventually a day will come when I may be serving at church, serving in Bible studies, maybe even out just in the world working. But I see this person loves the Lord. Man, she's passionate about church, things of God. This is great. I'm pursuing the Lord. She's pursuing the Lord. Then all of a sudden, man, I'm just running. By the way, when you're running in life, eventually, the people that aren't like you, they'll fall off. The ones that don't have the same values as you, they'll eventually fall off. You just got to give it time, okay? Because there's a lot of people around you that they don't need to necessarily be around you. They definitely don't need to be speaking your life, and they sure in the world don't need to be in your life as a potential mate. So give it some time. Let the riffraff shake off. But what you're going to see is as you're running, you go, okay, a lot of people here. Oh, she's cute over there. Oh, she's cute over there. Real cute over there. Okay, she's gone because she don't love the Lord. Oh, she's gone. Fill in the blank of all the reasons. And all of a sudden, I'm running, and I look left, and I look right, and I go, whoa, wait a minute. I'm going to point this way so it's not awkward there. Who's that? Who's that girl? She's still running after the Lord. I'm still running after the Lord. And we're moving our way up the triangle, but as the riffraff starts to fall off, all of a sudden, we start to look left and right, and we go, okay, this could be someone chasing after the same things that I am, there could be something here. See how this works? But we're so often so focused. I got to find this and I'll get. And the guys, they're the worst at it, right? There's only two of us here. The guys are the worst. Oh, yeah, I grew up in the church. Of course, I'll deal with all that when I get married and have kids, because then it's going to really matter. But I'm not worried about all that right now. And then they wonder why they got a mess of a relationship later on because they went the wrong way. So be careful here. We're talking, and Paul is telling us specifically, have a secured devotion to God and trust, Matthew 6:33, he'll work everything else out. You will eventually find someone running the same direction than you. And if it takes a little time, see it as a blessing, not a crime, because God's protecting you. The riffraff's got to run away. All right? Okay. So you can say amen. It's all good. Amen. Now, let's go back to this. He said two things in this last part. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint on you. Now, I basically just said that, but let's say it again. God's not punishing you. God's not restricting you. He's protecting you. He's enabling you, ultimately. It's not a restraint. It's a good thing. And by the way, just a little tip. If you want to find whoever this is, Billy Bob Thornton, whoever you want to find Billy Bob, guess what? The faster you get here, there's a good chance you're going to find this a lot faster as well. So don't delay this if you're in a hurry to find someone. Get your butt in motion and get up here so you have a better chance of getting rid of the riffraff and seeing something. That was free. All right, you're welcome. Okay? So he doesn't do this to lay a restraint upon us, but in fact, what? To promote good order. Because this is the right order, right? And is God punishing you? No, he's helping you. And some of us are going, why did someone tell us this sooner? Well, God did. It's in his Bible. You just probably didn't read it quick enough, but that's okay because we're here now, so all's good. We're starting new and we're moving forward. By the way, that was the same for me. I didn't read that passage until I was in my 20s, and I pretty much never stopped teaching it after that. This is just an unbelievable opportunity in this category, okay? So this is a good thing because we're promoting, as Paul says, a good order as we secure an undistracted devotion to God. And here's the deal. If a guy, for instance, if a guy can't follow God, he'll struggle leading you. And so if you're trying to find someone that isn't following God, just get ready for disaster. Because that bozo is going to try to lead you with his own power. And his own power is problematic because it will always fall short. But at the same time, ladies, if you can't stay focused on God, you're going to have a hard time staying focused and committed to your husband because his failures are going to overtake his leadership. See, when you get right with God, you realize, okay, I'm not marrying a perfect person, though sometimes in our mind we convince ourselves that they are early on. You're not marrying a perfect person. He will mess up. But if you have a right relationship with God, and more importantly, he has a right relationship with God because he's pursuing the king first, which means he's leading you best he can as God leads him, then you can trust God's leadership will rule the day, and you won't get caught up when he makes a mistake because you'll remember that same God that's leading him is the same God that saved you from all your mistakes as well. But if we don't learn how to follow and to submit, we'll look at that husband as soon as he messes up. We'll say, done with you. I can't believe you would do. I thought you were supposed to be all. No, no, no. You put a false expectation on him that he will never fulfill. We have to get this right with God. And we have to trust that the guy, all right, or the girl are getting it right themselves too. This is key. So first thing we got to do, we got to find the one. We figure out who God is in our life. Then we build a relationship with him. Why? Because we have a chance to do it now that'll be more difficult later on. And it's something all of us should desire to do. Why? Well, here's the third one. Okay? After we do those two things, we must mirror the one. We must mirror the one. Now, watch this. This is going to set us up for next week. Okay? James chapter 1, verse 22. I gave you a lot of verses today. This is so much fun. James 1, chapter, verse 22. But be doers of the word. Ever heard of that before? And not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away at once and forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Okay, so listen to this. This is super important. If you and I will aim to secure an undistracted devotion to God, and in the process of doing that, we try to grow to our full potential in Christ. I want to become everything God designed me to be. I want to become like Christ. I want to look like him. I want to do these things he set out for me. When you and I grow to our full potential in Christ, we have a better chance of attracting someone to like. See, some of us want to find the perfect guy or the perfect girl, yet we don't bring much to the table. And that's a problem, right? It happens a lot with guys. Guys want the perfect girl, right? But they're just not there, all right? I'm just picking on guys because we're not just you. You're the exception to the rule, of course. But y'all do it too. Okay, let's be honest. You can go look in your own mirror later on. I don't need to do it. I just pull the mirror out. And you know what? I make the same mistake, right? Because we're so caught up in what we want that we forget there's an order here. I need to get right with the Lord first. I need to become everything he's called me to be. I want to do that as best I possibly can. And in the process, I'll trust that the right person will come along because they are too pursuing the same thing. And therefore, they're going to actually be interested in me. I'll tell you this story is good. My wife, Sarah, when I met her, we always joked, if she had met me probably 5-6 years before, she would have never considered dating me. She would have just been praying for me. And it was a totally different lifestyle that I was living, and she came from a totally different world. I mean, it was unbelievable. And yet, five, six years go by, and the Lord can do a work in someone's life. I'm a living testament of it. And then all of a sudden, the person that she probably would have just given a few prayers to now becomes someone she might consider being married to. And so the reality is you've got to have this perspective. You want to attract someone that's going to help lead your family, ladies, or someone that's going to come along and support you, men, as you lead your families. You might want to bring something to the table, right? So we go back to this verse, because look, this is good. If I want a great person, I become a great person. If I want a godly person, I should consider becoming a godly person. So how do I do it? Well, this verse uses this concept of a mirror. And the mirror is the Bible. Right? By the way, the Bible, I put this on your note sheet because I just want to make sure I didn't forget it. A lot of us use the Bible, a lot of Christians use the Bible like binoculars instead of a mirror. Right? We're real good at going like, I need to share this with my sister or my friend or my boyfriend or my kids and my kids again and more for my kids. But we're real good at looking at all the people. We can think of names every time we're reading the Bible or someone's teaching us to go, yeah. The reality is, listen, all those things may be true, but that ain't your business. That's between them and the Lord. Your job is to use the Bible as a mirror, not binoculars. It's to look at it intently. By the way, ladies, let's just say hypothetically, you wake up one morning, you get up, you go into the bathroom, you look into the mirror, and it's not that you don't like what you see, but maybe your hair's messed up a little bit. Maybe you need to do your lipstick. I'm going to stop there because I don't know what else you do. And you go, what do you do when you look in the mirror and you don't see what you were hoping to see? Most of us take the mirror off the wall and we smash it on the ground, right? What? The mirror isn't working. Take it off the wall, throw it on the ground. You might even step on it. Why? Because the mirror's broken, right? That's what we do when we see something we don't like in the mirror, right? Oh, what do we do? Now listen, what do? We come up to the mirror. We look at the mirror. And we begin to fix the things that we now see that need to be fixed. And the Bible is, in God's eyes, the same thing. It is a tool for you and I to be able to say, okay, Lord, I know my life isn't perfect. Help me see what I can work on. We're all real good about pointing out all the things we want and desire. And God's saying, well, maybe you should spend some time becoming the person that that person might one day desire. We use the Bible as a mirror. God says, hey, use my words so that I can help you make the necessary changes. Right? We can go to books and podcasts and sermons and whatever little thing in between, and we can hear a bunch of stuff. But why would you want to go to someone else when God, the Creator, has spoken to you through his word and says, I've got everything you need to become the son or the daughter I've called you to be? And look, I'm not saying this to you in the room. I just say it to the world. But I say there's a lot of people waiting to find the one in their terms, and yet they're not spending any time becoming that person first. And we wonder why we keep falling into bad relationship after bad relationship after bad relationship. Or settling and settling and settling. Listen, if you settle, here's a thought, not a statement, a thought. If you're constantly settling, it may be your view of yourself is the issue. That you're not looking at yourself as the son or the daughter of God that deserves the very best. Maybe part of that settling is you're not looking at yourself with the value that God does. And that needs some work before you're ready to step into any kind of a relationship. And if you read your Bible and you go, man, I can't find anything here that's for me, just sit down with me for a few minutes. I'll help you. Because there's a lot for me. All of us have work to be done. But sometimes we're so caught up in what we want, we don't spend time working on what God wants for us. The Bible is our mirror. God says, I give it to you as a gift. So if you think you're ready to date, I would say simply look in the mirror, this mirror, and see if that statement is still a good idea for you. Now, hear me clearly. Doesn't mean we're ever going to be fully ready, right? I was never fully ready. I'm more of a godly man today than I was when I first met my wife, Sarah, hands down. But you can see potential. In fact, one of the concerns that I had for myself when I met Sarah, my wife, just so you know, she grew up homeschooled. She studied her Bible in homeschool. I opened my Bible really ultimately for the first time when I was in my 20s, okay? Two different worlds. And I remember thinking, I'd always been trained that you need to find someone and the guy's got to be the leader. And that is still true. And I remember I met Sarah and I was like, amazing, but I'm not even going to bother. I'm not going to waste my time because I can't lead her. She knows more about the Bible than I do. She grew up in a different home than I. Like, I could never lead her. So I didn't allow myself to be interested. So we stayed friends. Fast forward later on, we had a conversation one day and we were talking about, I don't know, it doesn't matter. I don't want to get sidetracked. But we were talking about some deal. And I just said a comment that I thought was helpful. This is the way I saw the world. And I said something to her that she had never thought about before. And she said, oh my goodness, Chad, that's amazing. I've never thought about that. That changes my entire perspective on that. And it was in that moment that I go, you know what, Lord, maybe I'm equating being able to lead to something that I don't fully understand. And so the reality is, guys, it's not that there is some great category that it must be. But when you and I open our word and we use God's voice to speak to us, right? That moment wasn't reading the Bible. It was an epiphany, if you will, that God gave me in that moment. But God was still speaking to me. And he was showing me, hey, you are growing, and this could be a good thing. See, we walk with him, and he can do things like that. But when we're walking on our own away from him, it's hard for us to hear and recognize his voice because we won't spend enough time with him to even recognize it if he were to speak to us. So my word to you is, hey, as we think about this, if we're going to find the one, and we're going to build a relationship with the one, the goal then ultimately is we want to mirror the one so that we can start to shave off the things in our life that need to go, not for the benefit of our future spouse, for our own benefit and our kids' benefit, and then that'll help us in the category of finding a spouse or a future mate. And the Bible is our mirror. Now, I know that some of you probably won't admit it now, and that's okay, but you're probably a little disappointed because you thought we were going to talk about, man, how do I find the one? In fact, could you just bring the one? Because if you could just bring the one and plop him down right here, that'd make things a lot easier. And I totally agree with you, and I apologize that I let you down, but here's the deal. I'd much rather disappoint you now but be helpful than hear you disappointed later because we didn't talk about something that ultimately matters most. Okay, so next week, we'll dig in a little more on finding the one. But I want to say one more thing before we go. All of us in this room have kids, okay? So listen carefully. This may be the most important thing of all, and it has nothing to do with dating, to an extent. All of us in this room have kids. I need you to hear something. The order by God is that in the family would be God first, spouse, kids. But when you, however you got there, divorced, never married, widowed, whatever, when that happened, the order got messed up a little bit. The order stays messed up until if you remarry one day. Okay? And this is important. Right now, your kids have the ultimate priority in your life. Okay? You cannot let your kids suffer because you got caught up in this. Not the seeking part, the sideways part. Okay? This is vital. Okay? Because God has entrusted you with his son or daughters or son or daughters. You cannot risk that for this. Now, here's the hard part. For those of you in this room that will get married, that order will kind of reestablish, and it'll be even more difficult than you can imagine if you haven't been there. Okay, I remember when my dad and my mom got divorced, and when my dad remarried, he married a woman that had kids, that was still a son that was still living at home. Can I tell you, woo, buddy, that was the most entertaining thing I'd ever seen as a 22-year-old. I mean, it's like, this is crazy. My dad trying to, and I'm not saying you should do this, but my dad trying to spank a kid that wasn't his, that was almost 16, and I think he would approve this if I said it, but, and then sometimes his wife was on board, then sometimes she'd kind of second guess, like, no, why are you disciplining me? I mean, it was a nightmare. The reality is, guys, you just need to understand, the future is going to be bright, it's going to be beautiful, because God is great and good, and his mercy overwhelms, his goodness is all over, but it doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. So that's just a little tip for the future. But for now, do not let your kids lose their place in your life to any other person until you say, I do. And when you say, I do, you better have taught your kids what's happening. They need to understand. Because I can promise you, when my dad came home and said, hey, Bethany, my little sister, this is Mary, this is now your stepmom. Her mind, you know what she thought? Replaced. Replaced. Not my mom, her. She thought she was being replaced in my dad's life. It took a long time for us to get her to come along to this idea that this isn't even a choice. This is God's command. That there's an order in the family and there's an order in marriage. And so that's for later. But right now, I just want you to be careful because, guys, it's so easy to get caught up in this and start to lose sight of those kiddos. And it can't happen. It just absolutely can't happen. Now, you're not going to be perfect at it. But when we keep this at the forefront, we have a better shot of making sure we really do this the best way that we can. And this is why you start to think about the intricacies of all that waits for you. It's exciting and it's so good. But it is intrinsically difficult. This is why you better figure out who the one is. Because if you put number two in the place of number one, he or she will blow this thing up for you. Because they're in a place, they may not even do anything wrong. They're just in a place that it's not designed to be. God has got to be your center, and he's also got to be the one you're following his leadership. Otherwise, we'll try to do all this on our own. Because doesn't it sound terrible? I found someone, and then we decided we're going to find a church together. We're going to really get serious about our faith. Like, to the world, that doesn't sound terrible. Except there's a good chance this person probably doesn't need to be that person if you actually went the right way. We do the same thing with our kid. We need God's wisdom. We need his leadership so that we can walk through a very difficult season of life and he can make it beautiful. And that's what he does. And so there is hope here, but I'm always want to be honest with you because I care about you and I care about your kiddos. So don't let the dating thing interfere with your kid's place in your life. And in the process, understand that a day is coming when that'll shift again, and be sure we teach our kids and help them understand what that looks like.